Pretty much everyone who has an interest in golf has heard the name Ben Hogan. Some of you will be very familiar with who he was, his achievements, and what made him special. But given he played most of his best golf in the 1950s, a lot of you listening may have heard the name, but may not actually know that much about him. Ben Hogan's story is one of the most fascinating in sports, never mind just golf. This was a man who made possibly the best comeback in sports history when in 1949 himself and his wife were involved in a car crash from which doctors told Hogan he would likely never walk again. Not only did he indeed walk again, but he went on to win another 6 major championships. There are people who make the argument that he was the greatest player of all time despite not winning as much as Jack or Tiger. Once you hear this, perhaps you'll understand why. Ben Hogan's story is a story worth telling. This is Ben Hogan, and this is Unplayable. Ben Hogan was born in Texas in 1912 and grew up the son of a blacksmith in a town called Dublin before moving to Fort Worth, just over 100 miles from Dublin. Young Ben had anything but an easy childhood. At the age of 9, his father Chester committed suicide, allegedly shooting himself in front of the 9-year-old Ben. In later years, Hogan was known to be quite reclusive, this incident invariably having a deep impact on him. In the years after his father's suicide, the family struggled financially, so the children of the family started working at a very young age. Ben had a couple of jobs, but one of these jobs was as a caddy at a nearby 9-hole course called Glen Garden Country Club. Remarkably, another caddy at this golf club was a young lad called Byron Nelson. This same Byron Nelson went on to win 52 times on the PGA Tour and 5 majors. In December of 1927, Ben and Byron played the annual Christmas caddy tournament when both were 15. Nelson sank a 30-foot putt to tie with Hogan on the final hole of that tournament, and instead of having a sudden death playoff, the two played another 9 holes. Nelson sank another long putt on the final green to win that by a shot. The following spring, Nelson was granted the only junior membership offered by the members of the golf club. Club rules did not allow caddies age 16 and older, so the August of 1928, the rejected Hogan, after his loss to Nelson, took his game to some nearby scrubby public courses. Hogan's game developed over the next couple of years, and rather than graduating high school, he dropped out just weeks before finishing his senior year so he could turn pro. His first event as a pro came at the Texas Open in 1930 before taking a pretty poorly paid job as a club pro in 1932, and then he married his wife Valerie in 1935. On the golf course, Ben's early years as a professional were anything but remarkable. He battled a hook off the tee and was certainly not showing signs of becoming a top player. And this made things very difficult financially for him and his wife. It's said that he went bankrupt on multiple occasions. His first professional win came in 1940, so 10 years after he turned pro, and he actually won 3 times in a row. Although it took a decade for Hogan to secure his first victory, his wife Valerie always believed in him, and this helped see him through the tough years before he finally cured his hook off the tee. It was this period from 1940 when Ben Hogan started to become Ben Hogan. From 1940 to 1942, he won 15 tournaments, but at this time, golf was not the most important thing in the world. World War II was in full swing, and not even professional sports people were exempt from duty once America joined the war. Hogan was called into action and he joined the US Air Force, where he served between 1943 to 1945 when the war ended. The war years were just as Hogan was kicking into gear, and although it's impossible to say what Hogan would have achieved had he not taken his break from playing golf, it was simply a period of time where he couldn't win golf tournaments. Once the war was over, Hogan picked up right where he left off, winning golf tournaments. In 1946, he won his first major, the PGA Championship, which at the time was a match play event with a 36-hole final. Hogan was 3 down to a guy called Ed Oliver after the first 18 of the final, but ended up winning 6-5 with a dominant second 18 performance. He won 2 more majors in 1948, a PGA Championship and a US Open, but it was 1949 where his life would change forever. Himself and his wife were driving back from the Phoenix Open after he just lost an 18-hole playoff. It was a foggy February night, so Hogan reduced his speed in the car, but as they were crossing a narrow bridge, a Greyhound bus tried to overtake a car coming in the opposite direction, leaving no room for another car on the road. Hogan threw himself over his wife to protect her, and it's lucky he did, because he would have been killed instantly had he not done so. The steering column punctured the driver's seat of their new Cadillac sedan. Hogan wouldn't have stood a chance. As it was, the accident left Hogan, who was 36 at the time, with a double fracture of the pelvis, a fractured collarbone, a left ankle fracture, a chipped rib, and near fatal blood clots. He would suffer lifelong circulation problems and other physical limitations because of this. His doctors said it was unlikely he would ever walk again, let alone play golf competitively. While Hogan was in the hospital in El Paso, his life was endangered by a blood clot that very nearly killed him, but was saved by a surgery. He left the hospital on the 1st of April, 59 days after the accident had happened, and returned to his home in Fort Worth by train. Over the next few months, he started walking again, and by the November of that year, he was back onto the golf course practicing. He returned to the tour for the start of the 1950 season, and his first event was the LA Open, a little less than 1 year after this accident. He managed to get himself into a playoff with Sam Snead, but lost. He was just thankful to be back playing golf. Hogan was effectively crippled for the rest of his life. His legs would swell so severely from walking the golf course that he was forced to tightly wrap them from ankle to waist as part of an hours-long pre-round treatment. Unable to endure the grind of an entire season, Hogan would never play more than six tournaments in a season again. He would also not compete in the PGA Championship because of the grueling match play format. Starting with the 1950 US Open from Marion, the first major Hogan would play in since his accident. The US Open suited Hogan because of its difficulty, but it was a struggle for him to even play the tournament. His caddy carried around a collapsible chair that Hogan would sit on between shots to rest his legs. Hogan started that tournament slowly, in a tie for 18th after the first round, but steadily climbed the leaderboard over the next two rounds. By the time he stood on the 15th green in the final round, he was ahead by two shots, seemingly in control of the championship. But he three-putted from 25 feet, missing a par attempt from 2 feet. Still, three pars would win him an improbable second US Open. Hogan parred the 16th, but found a bunker on the long par 3, 17th, and failed to get up and down. Now he stood on Marion's uphill 458-yard par 4 18th, one of the most difficult holes in major championship golf, needing a par to force a playoff. After a perfect drive, Hogan hit a one iron onto the green to 40 feet of the hole, a moment captured by photographer Hy Peskin that remains one of golf's iconic images. You've probably seen this famous photo in golf clubs all over the world. Ben Hogan hitting a one-iron second shot into the 18th at Marion with the crowds lining the fairway. This is an iconic photo, and what makes it so special is that through sheer force of will, Hogan got himself into a position to win the US Open after everything he had been through. He two-putted for par to force a playoff with George Fazio and Lloyd Mangrum. Despite nearly winning the tournament in regulation, Hogan had performed so poorly on the greens during the final round, needing 38 putts, that he considered changing putters for the playoff. His younger brother, Royal, who was still living in Texas, sent one of Hogan's old brass putters to him. It made it to Marion on Sunday morning, but not in time for Hogan to practice with it. In the end, he stuck with the putter he had used and fared better on the greens during the playoff. Such was the quality of Hogan's ball striking that he was able to get into a playoff while putting this poorly. Through 13 holes of the playoff, Hogan held a one-shot lead over both Fazio and Mangrum. Fazio faded down the stretch with four bogeys in his last five holes, but Mangrum hung in the fight, bouncing back from a bogey in the 14th with a birdie on the 15th to remain within one shot. On the 16th hole, Mangrum marked his ball so Fazio could finish out. But once he replaced his ball on the green, a bug landed on it. Mangrum then remarked, blew the bug off, and holed out for a putt which he believed was for a par to stay within one of Hogan. As he was about to tee off on the 17th, USGA rules official informed Mangrum that he had incurred a two-stroke penalty for incorrectly marking his ball a second time. In 1950, the tour allowed a player to mark his ball at any time while on the green, but in USGA championships like the US Open, marking a ball on the green in a stroke play was only permissible when it was in another player's line. Now three shots clear of Mangrum, Hogan made a 50-foot birdie putt at the 17th and parred the 18th to seal his unlikely victory. Interestingly, the one iron used for Hogan's approach shot to the 72nd hole was not in Hogan's bag for the playoff. The night before the playoff, several items were stolen from his locker, including the club he used for that famous approach shot into the 72nd hole. For more than three decades, the club's whereabouts remained a mystery. Finally, in 1982, the one iron was rediscovered. An anonymous man wandered into a golf collector's shop in Williamsburg, owned by a guy called Bob Farino, looking to sell a full set of Ben Hogan's signature McGregor clubs. Farino bought the clubs for $150, but he noticed the one iron was marked with personal model and did not match the rest of the set. Through some friends, Farino was able to get the club to Hogan's Fort Worth office in 1983, according to Doug McGrath, the former vice president of sales for the Ben Hogan Company. Hogan looked at the club, verified its authenticity, and said, "Good to see my old friend back. Give it to the USGA." The club now is displayed in the Comeback Age Gallery at the USGA Museum in Far Hills, New Jersey. The 1950 US Open bears a lot of similarities to Tiger's win over Rocco Mediate at the 2008 US Open, when he famously won in an 18-hole playoff despite having a fractured tibia and knee. Tiger's win was incredible, and because of its recency, many people will regard it as one of the most incredible feats in sport, which it was. But Ben Hogan's win at the 1950 US Open at Merion was right up there with Tiger's win. Famously, you might also remember, Justin Rose played his second shot on 18 from a similar spot to Ben Hogan at his US Open win in 2013 at Merion. As Rose stood over his second shot into 18, you could see Hogan's plaque in the fairway nearby. What Ben Hogan did following his win at Merion became one of the most incredible stretches of golf in history. Between 1950 and 1953, he won six major championships in only nine total starts. In 1953, he won each major he played in, which was three majors in three starts, and it was known as the Triple Crown of Golf. His win at the Open at Carnoustie was the last leg in what is considered one of the most dominant years in golfing history. It still stands among the greatest single seasons in the history of professional golf. Hogan, who was 40 at the time, was unable to enter and possibly win the PGA Championship that year to complete the Grand Slam of all four majors in the same year, because it was to be played in early July, the same week as the Open at Carnoustie, which he won. It was the only time that a golfer had won three major professional championships in a year, until Tiger Woods won the final three majors in 2000 and then the first in 2001. Madness that the schedule didn't allow him to attempt the Grand Slam. Hogan had the choice to either play in the Open or the PGA Championship, and he made the voyage across the Atlantic and won it. The 1953 British Open would prove to be Hogan's final major. A year later, he lost in a playoff to Sam Smead in the 1954 Masters. He would also lose the 1955 US Open in a playoff to little-known Jack Fleck. The 1960 US Open was the last time Hogan seriously contended for a major. Here are some stats from this stretch of golf to give you an idea of just how good Hogan was in this period before and after his accident. From 1946 to 1953, he won nine majors in only 16 starts. From the 1948 US Open through to the 53 British Open, he won eight majors out of 11 he played in. From 1940 to 1956, Hogan played a total of 32 majors. He finished outside the top 10 only once at the 47 PGA Championship. By comparison, the most dominant stretch of Tiger Woods' career came from the 99 PGA Championship through to the 2002 US Open. Woods won seven majors in 11 starts, which is an amazing feat, yet it doesn't match the winning percentage that Hogan achieved. If we compare Hogan to Jack Nicklaus, despite Nicklaus having a huge advantage in terms of total major wins, 18 wins to Hogan's 9, the circumstances of Hogan's career make it an interesting comparison. Nicklaus was able to win 18 majors by being consistently great over a period of around 25 years. This longevity is absolutely admirable and is ultimately why Nicklaus has more majors than Hogan, Tiger and everyone else who had more dominant stretches over shorter periods of time. When discussing Ben Hogan's career, it's important to recognise that he had years taken away due to World War II and the car accident. Further, he would not have stopped contesting the PGA Championship had it been a stroke play event. Hogan was consistently great over a reasonable period of time. He just didn't have the chance to play four majors each year like Nicklaus did, and his career was cut short by things that were out of his control. Hogan came from an impoverished background and was entirely self-taught. He initially developed a loopy, amateurish looking swing designed to hit draws for maximum distance. This was done so he could outdrive older caddies and subsequently have the right to carry bags and make money at the golf club where he caddied. He was able to transform this swing into one that produced such accuracy and consistency that many believe Hogan possessed a secret to the golf swing. While other golfers have surpassed Hogan in terms of wins, his greatness is undeniable. Ben Hogan is widely acknowledged to be one of the greatest ball strikers who ever played golf. Although his records are among the best in history, 64 PGA Tour victories and 9 majors, it's Hogan's ball striking that underpins his reputation. Hogan was known to practice more than any of his peers, and on this matter, Hogan himself said, "You hear stories about me beating my brains out practicing, but I was enjoying myself. I couldn't wait to get up in the morning so I could hit balls. When I'm hitting the ball where I want, hard and crisp, it's a joy that very few people experience." He was also one of the first players to match particular clubs to yardages or reference points around the course, such as bunkers or trees, to improve his distance control. Hogan thought that an individual's golf swing was in the dirt and that mastering it required practice and repetition. He's also known to have spent years contemplating the golf swing, trying a range of theories and methods before arriving at the finished method which brought him his greatest period of success. The young Hogan was badly afflicted by hooking the golf ball. Although slight of build, 5'8" and about 65 kilos, attributes that earned him the nickname Bantam, which he thoroughly disliked, he was long off the tee early in his career. Like many professional golfers of his day, he competed in long drive contests as well as match play and stroke play events. Hogan's late swing produced the famous Hogan fade ball flight, which was quite low and from left to right. He famously had a weak grip, which negated the chance of hitting a hook. Hogan's ball striking has been described as being miraculous by many greats of the game. Jack Nicklaus was once asked, "Is Tiger Woods the best ball striker you have ever seen?" To which Nicklaus responded, no, Ben Hogan easily." Some of Ben Hogan's stats are just mind-blowing. I've mentioned some already, but here are a few more that are just incredible. He won 10 tournaments in 1948 alone, including the US Open at Riviera Country Club, a course known as Hogan's Alley because of his success there. His 800 par score in the 1948 US Open set a US Open record that was not broken until Tiger Woods shot 12 under par in 2000. Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka currently hold the record with 16 under par in 2011 and 2017, respectively. Hogan remains the only player to win at least 10 PGA Tour events in a year twice, with 13 wins in 1946 and 10 wins in 1948. He came in the top five in 12 majors in a row between 1940 and 1947, and the top 10 18 times in a row between 1948 to 1956. Both of these streaks are records. He's the only player to win 8 majors in 11 starts between 1948 and 1953, and Hogan owns the longest streak of consecutive US Open top 10 finishes with 16 between 1940 and 1960. Hogan remains the only player to win the Masters, US Open and British Open in the same calendar year. Prior to the 1949 accident, Hogan never truly captured the hearts of his galleries, despite being one of the best golfers of all time. Perhaps this was due to his perceived cold and aloof on-course persona. But Hogan shocked the golf world by returning to tournament golf only 11 months after his accident, then doing what he did in the following years, made him a national icon. Was Ben Hogan the greatest of all time? It's hard to say. These debates are always subjective and people will always have their favourites. His ball striking was incredible. His dominance over a short period was better than any other player in history. And his comeback from the car accident was worthy of a movie. I think it's fair to say that Ben Hogan lived a remarkable life. I hope you enjoyed listening to this as much as I enjoyed making it. And thank you for listening to Unplayable.